Yes.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan, Donnie Football with you until 10:35 tonight. The MLB All-Star Game getting underway in a few moments. Still going through pregame festivities in Arlington. Dom, I don't know why, and don't take this the wrong way. You strike me as somebody, and you're definitely not alone in this sense. You strike me as somebody as when you see an advertised time for a game, you get annoyed as the minutes go by and that game has not yet started.
Yes, I do.
Like, the NHL is a king of this.
It sucks. They'll say, Penguins Bruins starts at 8 o'clock. It doesn't start till 8:25. I turn the channel off. I don't care. Because it's stupid. You're lying to your audience just to pump up your content. I hate that.
I knew that was going to be a chord striker with you. No, it
does. Doesn't bother you?
It does. It's just like I've become, I'm not going to say like I've outsmarted other people because we know like other people are probably in the same boat as both of us. I normally just become accustomed to, I don't need to get, if I'm, say, driving home, I don't need to get home right at 8. They're not going to start at 8. You know, I don't need to get home at, 3, let's say it's the Daytona 500 or something. They're not going to start right at 3 or right at 2:30. It's always a little bit after that. Hockey really is the bad one, though.
Hockey's bad. Baseball's pretty good. Like, if they say Pirates first pitch is at 2:10, usually at 2:10, but like it's 8:15. The game should be started by now. That's ridiculous.
Right. Now, with just any run-of-the-mill game that you get in baseball, the times are almost dead-on accurate. I mean, I've even seen instances where they start early. It's rare, but you have times where scheduled first pitch isn't supposed to be until 7:05. Like, again, I'm going back to minor league baseball here. But still, I mean, it's a professional level of baseball, and the umpires are, like, ready to go. Everybody on the field's ready to go. And we would have games where the scheduled first pitch technically was not until 7:05, and that first pitch gets thrown at 7:03, which is very rare. And I guess, you know, if somebody had a big enough gripe, I mean, there's enough Karens out there in the world now that somebody in Batavia, New York might get pissed off if the Muck Dogs game starts 2 minutes early. But, like, it's going to be rare in that sense that you're going to get a complaint about it starting early. But, like, here we were, and I'm naive of myself to think this, but I felt good when I saw the introductions happening around, like, 7:45. Like, okay, maybe they'll start a few minutes after 8 o'clock. Now I'm wondering if this top of the first inning goes long, when will we be talking about Paul Skene's performance? Until 9.
They're blowing our whole rundown right out of the water.
And that's why we have to adjust on the fly.
They're doing a drone shot. Like, who cares? The game should have started 17 minutes ago. All this stuff before.
That drone, the drone stuff does impress me. Like, I don't know how people fly those so well. Luke Wilson out there for the first pitch. What do you think of this, Dom?
I love it. Love it. But this should have happened 18 minutes ago.
Are you going to say he's the best Wilson brother?
You know what?
You take him over Owen?
Okay, well, Luke Wilson is in one of my all-time favorite movies, Old School. But
I love that take, Dom. Yeah. You have another Will Ferrell take that we'll get to later on. I love that take because yeah. I think Old School was Will Ferrell's best.
It's in my top two.
Yeah.
But I'd go Owen Wilson. I love Owen Wilson.
For the Wedding Crashers performance.
Wedding Crashers and The Internship. People forget about that movie.
Yeah. I've only seen that once.
Great movie. Ferrell's in that too. He makes like a brief cameo.
Oh, man. They love doing that with him.
Yeah. Wedding Crashers?
The Wedding Crashers one is legendary. I mean, you got quote after quote in a 10-minute appearance from Will. Not even 10, 5 minutes.
I think it's a top five Will Ferrell movie just on that 10-minute appearance.
See, I'm hard-pressed to like argue that it is actually a Will Ferrell movie because he's in so little of it.
Now, excuse me. Is he in the movie?
He is, but he's not like
a
main
movie.
But he's not like the main attraction.
But he's in the movie. Doesn't matter. He's in it, so it's a Will Ferrell movie.
I don't know. I mean, if you want to put that caveat on there, but I just feel as if he's got to be like at least one of the main characters or in a certain amount of the movie. I mean, like, do you say that The Rock, like his role in The Other Guys, like that's his best performance?
Top five. Him and Samuel L. Jackson. Top five. That was hilarious.
You do not
man.
Have that in their top
yes,
five.
Yes, I do. Dude, The Rock in that movie was hilarious, man. Aim for the bushes.
He's in it for like 8 minutes.
It's hilarious. And it's a key part of the movie.
Oh, that's great. You're a gem. You're a gem, Dom. We'll get to more Will Ferrell discussion. As tonight goes on, 2 hours and change left with us. You can check us out on our YouTube page, the live stream, where you can have the joy of looking at my beautiful face for the rest of the night. You can also check it out at 937thefan.com. You can listen to us on the Odyssey app or the old school way. Maybe you're just in the car or on the back deck and you got a radio tuned 93.7 The Fan. Dom, Corbin Burns is on the mound throwing warm-up pitches 20 minutes after the hour.
Like, that's just, I mean, it's almost laughable. Like 20 minutes? They could have been doing this at 7:30, having all the pregame stuff.
I kind of wish we wouldn't get in trouble for doing play-by-play of these things.
So I swear.
Because I'd love to dust off some play-by-play chops whenever Paul Skeens is out on the mound, but I think we'd get in trouble for that.
So I was actually thinking about this the other day. I was like, wouldn't it be cool, no joke, if we could get Brownie or Block in here to do play-by-play of Paul Skeens in the bottom of the first? But then I agree with you. I think we would probably get in trouble if we did that.
Yeah. And as much as I would want to do it if Aaron Judge came to the plate, with Paul Skeens on the mound, I don't want to run the risk. Craig's on vacation, but I don't want to put that hardship on him.
Do you think we would get in trouble for that?
I forget what the actual rule is about that. Like doing, it might have to be for a certain length of time. Like it's not like I would do it for every single batter.
I think if you just did it for Judge, I think you'd be in the clear. And if not, then I'll take the bullets.
We'll see if it comes down to like a 3-2 pitch. If it comes down to a 3-2 pitch, I'll make that deal with you on Aaron Judge. I'll try to go for it.
I'll get an email about that tomorrow.
I want to talk some Steelers here. Along with the Brandon Ayuk stuff, I wanted to take a little mid-season baseball break and talk Steelers as we are just a handful of days. We're about a week away from the Steelers showing up in Latrobe at St. Vincent College and getting things underway. So I wanted to look at the Steelers of last year compared to the Steelers of this year. And for this year, of course, it's just on paper. 2023 opposed to 2024. But I want to go down position by position here on the offense and think about which side is better. Now, quarterback, Dom, I would like to think we're both on the same side here. Russell Wilson, an upgrade over Kenny Pickett.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm surprised. I didn't think you'd think about that one as much.
I'm very bullish.
I know you're not a Pickett guy.
No, I'm very bullish on the quarterback situation going into this year.
Well, I do know you predicted the Steelers to go 7-10.
Yeah. And I also think Arch Manning is going to be the quarterback in 2026. I also think that's coming down the line.
Oh, boy. Well, I'm going to...
Well, I'm being serious about that, too. I don't think either Russell Wilson or Justin Fields will be the quarterback in 2 years.
I'm going to put that one out there.
Great. Great. I mean, I don't know. Justin Fields is 10-28 as a starter. He was like 23rd or something in QBR last year. That's not starting quarterback material. And Russell Wilson sucked the last 2 years. Now, is that a product of Denver and what was around him? Maybe. But I just don't see either of these two working out tremendously well. Better than Pickett, though.
Okay, so we will agree that the quarterback siding there goes to what we have this year, what we are working with this year. Russell Wilson and or Justin Fields, I think, better situation than what Kenny Pickett was in and how he played. Running back, it's the same guys. It's Najee Harris, it's Jaylen Warren. However, I think now that they have a better science behind those two, a little less is more system working with the running backs, a two-headed monster, if you will, not just one guy being the bell cow and getting the tires run off him. They've also added Cordarrelle Patterson into the mix, which I think would give 24 the edge over 2023.
I agree. I think this is going to be Najee's last year in Pittsburgh, so I would think that he would want to go out on a high and go into an offseason where he'll be a free agent looking as great as possible. So yeah, I agree. I think it's better than last year.
Wide receivers, it has to be 2023 getting the nod over 2024. The 24 team has a gigantic void that they created themselves by trading Deontay Johnson for a mediocre corner on the worst team in football. So 2023, you had Johnson and you had George Pickens. You know, Allen Robinson didn't give you much at all. Calvin Austin III didn't give you much at all. This year you have George Pickens and a bunch of guys that can pretty much be a wide receiver four, and then you have Roman Wilson, a rookie. So 2023, I think, easily gets the nod when it comes to receiver. Now, tight end, you're working with mostly the same guys, and hopefully they are used more in the 2024 season under the Arthur Smith offense. It's Pat Freiermuth, who may be getting an extension before we get to the start of the season. You want to see more from Darnell Washington. You want to see more from Connor Hayward. He can sort of be that Swiss Army knife type guy. So I think receivers, it's easily 2023, but I think tight end has a good chance just on paper to say it's better this year given what the offensive mind is.
Yeah, I agree. I think losing Deontay is a bigger hit than people realize. I know that he got a lot of flack during his time in Pittsburgh. Now, if they trade for Brandon Ayuk, would you say it's a slam dunk this year is better than last year?
If they do pull off an Ayuk trade, yes.
Yeah, I probably agree. But I'd go 2023 right now.
And I understand that Deontay Johnson was a pain in the ass to people, and I think he was a better player than what he got credit for. Certainly did some very frustrating things on the field, but without him, that did leave a pretty big void. But if an Ayuk trade would actually happen, I think they're getting one of the better receivers, best all-around receivers in all of football. Across the offensive line, left tackle, it looks like it'll be Broderick Jones this year. That's an easy upgrade over Dan Moore Jr., unless you are opposed to that, I will move along. Guards, Seumalo and Daniels, the same guys there. Center, Maybe if you want to have a conversation, I don't know how you felt about Mason Cole, but I feel pretty confident right now saying that Zach Frazier will be a better player this year than what Mason Cole was at all with the Steelers.
No, I completely agree. And those WVU boys, we know we love them down here in Pittsburgh. So, yes, I agree.
And then right tackle, it was Okorafor and then Jones last year. Hopefully, it is Troy Faltanu once we are in week one of 2024. And I thought Jones was a solid right tackle. I think he can be a great left tackle. And Faltanu, I am impressed by his college resume. He was mostly a left tackle. So I guess you can have a little bit of a hold up, given you're not 100% sure what he can bring at right tackle. But he was also lauded as being one of the most all-around offensive linemen in the entire draft. So that's where I give the edge to Faltanu in that sense as well. 412-928-9370 if you want to join the conversation. Paul Skeens about to take the mound in Arlington. We will have live updates of how that goes. His one inning of work in the All-Star game is coming up in just a few moments, and we'll see if he gets to face Big Aaron Judge. 412-928-9370. Fan text line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. It's Donnie Football with you on Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan. Already looking special out there. Paul Skeens, one out, bottom of the first inning. And he just whizzed one in there at triple digits. He got Stephen Kwan to pop out to shallow, very shallow center field with two strikes. So he was pounding the zone against the league's leading hitter. And Gunnar Henderson just chopped one right back to him. But Skeens, a great athlete, will field that very well. I almost naturally just fell into it there, Dom.
Hey, man, you got that play-by-play guy in you. See, this sucks. He's not going to get to face Aaron Judge. What a stupid, selfish decision by Bruce Bochy. Seriously.
What if there's some sort of gentleman's agreement here that they just intentionally walk Juan Soto?
They should. Paul Skeens should stare right at Bruce Bochy and throw four pitches into the seventh row.
Well, Soto just swung at that like it was a sword. So, Paul Skeens, a chance to go 1-2-3 in his only inning of work, and we know that it will be only one inning. That is what has been worked out between Derek Shelton, Torrey Lovello. Major League Baseball had some impact on that as well. I do applaud Major League Baseball for having the thought of, well, if Paul Skeens is not officially named the starter by Torrey Lovello, the Diamondback skipper, we're going to make it that way anyway. And unfortunately, which, Dom, we talked about this early on in the show, unfortunately, Bruce Bochy was not forced to make Aaron Judge in that top three. Two strikes, by the way, on Juan Soto. It's 2-2. Bottom one, two outs.
Come on, Donnie. Do play-by-play of this pitch.
Oh, man.
Come on. Do it. Do it.
If it goes to 3-2, I'll give you one at 3-2, Dom. Popped it up. See, I want to see him get at least a strikeout.
They showed Livy Dunn a few seconds ago. There you go.
You want me to do it, Dom?
Yes, do it.
Bottom of the first inning, two outs, no score. 2024 Major League Baseball All-Star Game. Four-time All-Star, four-time Silver Slugger Juan Soto stands in. Here comes the windup from Skeens outside. That's ball three. Took something off that time. Soto hitting .295 on the season, 23 home runs. Again, one of the key cogs in that Yankees lineup, one of the most powerful teams in all of baseball. Here comes the payoff from Skeens. Inside, ball four, that fastball just missing, and we will get to see Aaron Judge. What do you think of that?
Hey, that was pretty good,
Little Harry Callis in me, off the cuff. Man, this is one that it's going to be tough to look away for. It's going to be tough to look away from that screen while trying to also yap into the microphone. That was close. That was a lot closer than I think the got credit there. Soto walked off pretty quickly. Immediate ground out. Boom, a smart play. Heads up play. Take that, Aaron Judge. So Paul Skenes, he does allow a walk to Juan Soto, but otherwise he gets Aaron Judge to ground out to third base. So the big fella is through his inning. We'll break it down more coming up in a few minutes. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. 412-928-9370 if you want to join the conversation. What did you make of Paul Skenes' performance? One inning down in the Major League Baseball All-Star Game. No score after one. It's Donnie Football with you on Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan. So not quite a 1-2-3 inning for Paul Skenes. Although now people are going to be talking about William Contreras not holding on to the fastball. Because now I'm seeing it even more, and I'm not the only one that thought it at the time. I thought maybe I'm being a bit too quick on the trigger. I really do think that would have been a strike three called on Soto on that payoff from Skenes. But Contreras could not hold on to it, so they didn't even really entertain the idea. Soto, of course, acting like it wasn't even close. He trotted down to first base. And then Aaron Judge grounded out to third on one singular pitch from Skenes. Nonetheless, an impressive inning from Skenes. He gets Kwan to pop up to shallow center. Henderson, nothing doing. Soto, he walks. And then Judge, kind of the same deal as the other guys. Ground ball to third base. So it's not like anybody crushed the baseball off him by any means. Surprisingly, no strikeout for Skenes in that first inning, but I keep watching this clip, Dom. It keeps playing over and over right in front of me. I have it pulled up, and I keep thinking that probably would have been strike three on the Skenes 3-2 pitch that was 100-plus miles per hour against Juan Soto. So Paul Skenes is done in the All-Star game. It is a scoreless affair as they go to the bottom of the second inning. Tarek Skubal just pitched a clean inning for the American League. He, by the way, has been one of the most impressive pitchers in baseball this season. Maybe one of the best pitchers that the Pirates have faced. You just don't hear about him a whole lot because he's from the Detroit Tigers. But Skenes is done. He faced four batters. He did get to face Aaron Judge. And you could say it was anticlimactic, but Skenes won the battle. He got the ground ball to third base. Did you watch it? What are your thoughts on it? Did you just listen in to us yapping about it? 412-928-9370. Jesse is on the Fan. What's up, Jesse?
Donnie, my man. I spent all day waiting for this. Went and got wings, got home right when you guys are rightfully so complaining about the timing of the start. And right before he took on Soto, my internet cut out.
Oh, no.
So thankfully, you were doing the play-by-play, so I appreciate that.
How about that?
Jesse, you come in the clutch, my man.
I love to hear it. Dom had to convince me to do so.
I asked him. I said, "Was there like something like?" He said, "I'm not sure." I said, "Well, thank God, because I want to hurt crap."
Man, are you like a? So, what do you use, like YouTube TV or something like that? I'm a YouTube TV guy.
I don't want to say what I use.
Okay.
I'm one of them ones. Like I kind of, you know, crap. all right, I'm sure I'm dumb. Thanks, y'all.
Did you get that, Dom? Alrighty.
I got it.
All right, that was a pretty funny call all around. And then he immediately caught himself after saying the word that he wasn't allowed to say there.
Hey, at least you made his night, though, Donnie.
How about that? How about that? I'm glad that happened. The internet fails him. He just kind of alludes that he is an illegal streamer of things. I mean, that had to have been what it was. Because he said, like, I don't want to say what I'm using. I'm one of those guys.
We know what he was using.
Do you have friends that do that stuff religiously? You don't have to say them by name, but like, I feel like everybody has friends that...
What,
like,
use, like, streams?
For, like, everything.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, all the time.
So, like, you don't have at home, like your parents don't have cable or YouTube TV or anything like that?
No, so, we have cable, but I know for stuff like NFL games out of market, yeah, friends use that all the time.
Because I know... Like, Sarah, I think somebody in Sarah's family, I can't remember. It was, like, one of the many functions I went to, but it was early on in our relationship, so now I can't even remember, like, whose house it was. They had, like, this funky remote, and, like, the moment I saw it, I'm like, there's some kind of, like, you know, this is some kind of deal where this, probably a little bit shady, but they had, like, every channel, because I brought up, like, oh, like, can we turn on the... like pirate game, and it was like a menu that had like every single sports channel available. I'm like, all right, this is a little, you know, I think we got some funny business going on here with whatever system you're using. But see, hey, I'm not going to call him out for it. I mean, I don't think the little guy should get slammed for that.
No, not at all. I mean, listen, we're college students. We can't afford all this streaming crap.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm sure you guys all do it at Syracuse. I mean, we did it all the time at school for things.
That's when I mostly know people that do it.
I mean, school. You can. I mean, I did it in college too. Like there were things that, like, we would almost like take turns. Like, all right, who's gonna stream it this time? And like whatever it was, but. We also had...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Do they give you little cable boxes in your dorm?
Yes. We actually had a good number, or still have, a pretty good number of channels up there. Like, we get Red Zone for free on the school's cable.
Really?
Yeah, system, whatever it is. Yeah.
Man, that's a hell of a deal.
Yeah, it is. It's nice. I think we had like a bunch of movie channels. It's actually pretty sweet deal.
It sounds like it.
Yeah. Well, for $82,000, it should be a good deal. I should own Red Zone after how much I'm paying for tuition.
They say, here, I'll give you something worth the price of tuition. The best TV package you could imagine at the college level. I mean, we just had like your, not basic, like we had maybe like 100 channels or so, but it was nothing extensive. We definitely didn't have Red Zone for free. That was for sure.
Yeah, that was nice. Now, this year, I'm in an apartment that isn't part of the school's Wi-Fi system.
Oh, a little off-campus living for intern Dom.
So I don't think I'm going to be getting Red Zone for free in our apartment.
Going to be boozing it up with the boys? You're 21 right before you go back.
That is exactly right.
You're about to be the link.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I turned 21 the 24th.
Are you 21 before like all of your college buddies then?
Most of them, yeah.
You're pretty early in the school year.
Yeah, so I'm going to be doing all of the purchasing.
Oh, you're the guy.
See, that's what sucks, to be honest. Like, I like being the guy.
But you feel important, though.
That's true. People come to me. I'm like I'm the guy now that everybody goes to. Yeah, I'm excited for next year. It's fun once you can, like, legally drink, you know? I mean, it's fun when you can't legally drink,
yeah.
But I'm excited.
Yeah, I mean, you feel like you have that rebellious feeling if you're not 21 yet and you're, like, at a college party or maybe you even sneak into a college bar, which I only did a couple of times, and that is true. It only happened a couple of times where I was not yet 21, and, I mean, listen, I went to school in Greene County, okay? You think they had the greatest technology to check everybody's ID? No. And I think unless you looked really young, they weren't checking the ID anyway.
Yeah, I know a friend of mine. I was just talking to him the other day, and he was telling me about his girlfriend and where she goes to school, and it's nowhere near here. And he said that where she goes, the bars there are so lax about this. He said people go up with their credit card and just give them their credit card. And they say, yeah, you're good, and let them in. And I'm like, man, I am going to the wrong school.
I mean, who the hell is the bouncer? Like Stevie Wonder?
It has to be, man. He said they just don't care. So you just have to give them like a piece of plastic and then you're good.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you get those schools out in the country bumpkin areas. Then, I mean, Waynesburg, it's the very bottom end of Pennsylvania. You're basically in West Virginia. It was nice for things like that.
Yeah.
Like they just, it was a little bit more relaxed down there.
So were you guys, would you say you were more of a bar school or a party school?
So I would say, well, I mean, it's tough to say either, really. Waynesburg is somewhere where they tried to push down on the amount of fun that was had. Now, I would say more of a bar school. Like, we had one dive that we went to all the time, and it's no longer open. Very, very upsetting to some of us that graduated in the late 2010s. And they also tried to institute this rule that you could not live off campus, and if you did, you could get your ways around it. You had to be within like 50 air miles of the school to classify as a commuter. Now, that is further than what it sounds, because it's like the old as the crow flies, 50 miles. So my best friend from college, he is from the North Hills area, and I think he was like 40, right around 40 miles, 40 air miles away from the school. So he classified as a commuter. Now they played this tough guy type front where they're like, well, if we catch you, we're going to charge you for room and board anyway. I don't know anybody personally that they actually caught. I knew a handful of people that pulled off the, like, oh, we're commuters and we just live in town. And, you know, we live off campus. I could have maybe done it. I think I want to say where my since I lived with my grandma from sophomore year on, I think she was probably around 45 to 50, like right around that mark of like where they would be drawing the line at. But we found our ways to have fun, for sure. Like, there were enough houses, enough party houses that people had where we found our ways to have fun. Now, was it going to live up to something you see at a Division I school? No. But I also, what I loved about the small school setting, it was almost like high school in a way. You knew all of these people that you were going to see. It was pretty rare that you walked into a situation of like, oh, who the hell is this? Or like, you'll see people and think to yourself, I'll never see that guy again in my life. Like, you ever have those thoughts? Like, you probably have. There's people at Syracuse you have already seen and you may never see again.
Oh yeah. I mean, that can sometimes work in your favor, to be honest.
Well, it can.
You hit
it
on
can.
A girl, it doesn't work out. You're like, well, I'm never going to see you again. But yeah, I know we're planning a trip down to Auburn in the fall because one of my good friends from high school moved there permanently. And I'm looking forward to that because, like, I want to go to an SEC school for a weekend and just see what it's like.
That would be something. It's just different down there, they say.
That's what he says. He says it's
an old SEC country.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does he go there?
Yeah.
Yeah,
so he's going to be a junior. Now, I want to go for like a big time football game.
Yeah,
like, if I'm going down there, I'm not going to see Tulane. Like, I want to see. Now, this year is tough because.
Now, do you have like commitments since you are in the broadcasting at Syracuse? That's obviously a big deal. Do you have commitments that would hold you up from that?
No, because you're for what I do, it's like every other week you have something going on. So I can find a weekend where I'm good.
Yeah, I'd be scouring that schedule.
See, the only good home games this year are Oklahoma in September and Texas A&M in November.
For Auburn, you're saying?
For Auburn, yes.
Yeah.
What were you talking about?
Well, I didn't know if you meant Syracuse there for
a moment. No, sorry. Auburn.
I'm going to say because the teams didn't sound right, but I just wanted to make sure.
No. Yeah. So Auburn, those are the two good games. So I'll see if it lines up with Syracuse. I think it'll be fun, though.
Yeah,
I want to drive.
That really would be. That would be a road trip, I think, that would be worth taking.
In college, he said he can get us, you know, everywhere we would want to get. So I think it'd be worth it.
Yeah.
And I said I want to drive down. It's 13 hours, but it would be all my boys from here going down. I think that'd be fun.
Yeah, for sure. Because drives, like, okay, they'll get tiresome at points, but... It's nowhere near as bad if you have a couple of your buddies in the car.
Yeah. Take turns driving. Somebody has to sleep. They can go in the back. I think it'd be a great time.
I can just see you running point on this trip. You're definitely the guy that runs point in your group, aren't you?
Some groups I run point. Others I just kind of sit in the background. Now, this trip, I'm actually kind of leeching it off of one of my other friends because it was his idea. And he was just going to go down by himself. And then he mentioned to me he was going. And I'm like, oh man, that would be great. Can I come? He's like, yeah, of course. And then I invited other people. But it's gonna be should be fun if we can get it to work out.
Yeah, there are a couple of like just football related trips that I do think would be fun. I don't know if I would necessarily say bucket list. I mean, maybe, but SEC football game, some sort of like big rivalry. Presumably, I don't know about like one that would always be sweet, the Red River rivalry.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a sweet one.
Michigan, Ohio State, any interest?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and that's one that I think is actually realistic because neither school is all that far away. I mean, Columbus is like 3 and change, and
yeah.
Michigan is absolutely a drive that can
Five
be made.
Hours. Yeah.
And I grew up an Ohio State fan, like a massive one.
Really?
Yes.
I think I remember you telling me that.
Yeah. I mean, I grew up in the... Now, this was... I mean, you probably weren't even... No, you weren't even born yet. Because a lot of people just came to the assumption that I grew up a fan of Ohio State because Terrell Pryor went there. in 2008.
Right.
And Pryor is from Jeanette, which is a neighboring town of Greensburg, where I'm from. I was a fan of the school before that. This was when I was 5, 6 years old. The team that won the national championship in 2002 was the team that like hooked me in to like Marie, their running back.
Mm-hmm.
Guy had an iconic freshman season. And then I just continued to be a big fan.
Hmm.
A.J. Hawk comes through there. James Laurinaitis goes through there.
Oh, yeah.
Bobby Carpenter goes through there. And then, you know, Pryor gets there in 2008, goes to 3 BCS games, gets thrown out of school for pretty bogus reasons, especially today. Like, if you're somebody like that, you have to be through a wall at what has become of college athletics. That dude got basically derailed from his career because of some tattoo and memorabilia exchanges. And now think about what is happening in college athletics. And this dude got thrown out of school, as did some of his teammates.
Mm-hmm.
Careers legitimately, maybe not ruined, but it certainly hurt.
Yeah.
Because of memorabilia, tattoo exchanges. I think about that like anytime that conversation comes up. Anytime that NIL and everything involving it comes up, the first person I think about is Terrell Pryor. Now, he's doing fine for himself now, sure, but, and he, you know, ended up making a somewhat memorable NFL career. I mean, he did some honestly pretty cool things. It could have been a lot better.
Right.
Sure. But, like, you think about what he got in trouble for and now what kids are able to do.
It's unbelievable.
At free will. Yeah, so Michigan-Ohio State definitely won, to get back on topic a little bit. That's definitely a game that I would love to attend. It really in either building.
Oh.
I would enjoy it in either building.
So here's a question for you, because I was talking with my dad about this. The last time Michigan and Ohio State met as number one and number two in the country was 2006.
Yep, I remember that game.
Do you remember who the quarterbacks were for both teams?
Troy Smith and Chad Henne.
Oh, my Lord. That was quick, Donnie.
Oh, yeah. Troy Smith won the Heisman that year.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, man. When it comes to football, I can't even mess with you, man. It's unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. I remember that game well. I think I remember the exact score. If
you had
to double check it. I think it was 42-39.
Oh, my God. That's right, because it was on, we were watching it today.
Yeah, that's one of the great games of all time. That was like that basically stamped Ohio State into the national title, which then they played Florida and, you know, got embarrassed.
Right.
Ted Ginn Jr. ran back the opening kickoff of the national championship game, and then Florida just kind of ran it up on them.
Yeah.
I mean, also something wild from that same year, Florida beat Ohio State in the national championship in both football and basketball.
Yeah, that's true. Because that was when Billy Donovan was at Florida
and basketball. And Joakim Noah and Al Horford.
Wow.
And Corey Brewer. Now, that Florida team was loaded.
Yes.
They won back-to-back seasons.
Mm-hmm.
That was the... No. I think it might have been a year separated.
Hold on.
Now that I'm thinking of it.
So the year that they won back-to-back.
No, never mind. I think...
No, you're right.
Yeah, because the national title game in football would have been played in January of 07. And then March of 07 was that national title game in basketball. And that was the Greg Oden, Mike Conley, Ohio State team.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay.
Yep, you got it.
Yeah. And Oden, unfortunate NBA flop, he was a monster in college, man. That's a player... He's a player I think kids from your generation should go back and see what he did at the college level, because, you know, you're what, 4 to 5 years old? So you don't really remember Greg Oden.
No, I was like two or three.
All you really know of Greg Oden was, oh, this guy was a flop in the NBA. You know, he got picked ahead of Kevin Durant, and it was a gigantic mistake made by the Trailblazers. He was a beast in college. And it's hard to believe. Like, you pull up a picture of him at 18 years old, he looks like he's 45. Pull up a picture of Greg Oden, Ohio State, right now, and he looks like he's 45 years old.
Greg Oden, Ohio State.
And I was watching this guy when I was 12.
Oh, my God.
And I'm thinking, I'm only 6 years younger than this guy?
Dude, that's actually unbelievable.
Yeah, incredibly old-looking man.
Oh, my God.
He looks eerily similar to Sam Young, too, who was at Pitt around that same time.
Man, that is ridiculous.
Yeah. But he was a really good college player. Like, I remember that in the finals of March Madness that year. It was Florida, Ohio State, and Ohio State never really got close. Like, they would maybe get within, you know, 8 points or 6 points, but they would never truly threaten. Like, Florida always kept them at arm's length. Oden balled out in that game, though. He was the only Ohio State player that showed up. And he arguably outplayed both Joakim Noah and Al Horford, who both went. I mean, Horford's still freaking playing. The guy's almost 40. He's still playing. And Joakim Noah had a pretty successful NBA career. And if I remember correctly, he outplayed both of those guys in that game. It's just, the complimentary pieces there were all Florida, all in favor of that.
And all he'll be remembered for is that he was a bust.
Yeah, but I'm telling you.
Taking over KD.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Go back and if you ever get a chance, like, watch some of his college highlights and you'll realize it'll be tough for you to look at him anyway and think, how was he picked over Kevin Durant? Because Durant's going to go down as one of the great scorers of all time. But when you watch his college highlights, you'll be like, okay, now I see why this dude got picked where he did, because he was a freak.
So bottom line is, you want to come to Auburn with us? I think that's...
I don't know, man. You got me kind of riled up about all this. We just got into a long Ohio State discussion, going to Ohio State and Michigan.
I think my brother wants to go to Ohio State. So he's going to be a...
Like, he wants to go there as a student.
Yeah, so he's going to be a senior in high school this year. And that's one of the schools that he's thinking about going. I think if he goes, I think, like, as a brother, I think it's in the rules that he has to take me to Ohio State, Michigan. No doubt about it.
Oh, I think so. Yeah.
Get me in the student section.
Yeah. I mean, and you want to talk about places where they don't really check IDs for people. So I have a friend from high school, and I still occasionally will reach out to her to this day. She's dating a guy that played football at Ohio State and spent a few years in the NFL. He hasn't been on a team in like 2 years, I want to say. But she went to Ohio State and she knew I was always a massive fan. So eventually I did get to go to a game and I just used one of her roommate's ID cards. And her roommate, obviously a female, and I just used her card, and she was like, oh, yeah, you just got to cover up the picture on the ID. They'll let you right in. And they did.
And it worked?
Yeah.
Jeez Louise.
Yeah.
Was it fun?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like a big game. I think they played Hawaii, but there were some pretty notable dudes still on that team. Like, Zeke Elliott was on that team. Joey Bosa was on that team. There's probably some other dudes I'm not even thinking of. I don't know about, maybe Michael Thomas. It was like the final, like, remnants of that team that won the national championship.
Right. Man, they had some talent on those teams.
Oh, that team that won the national title in the first college football playoff year, that team was loaded up.
You know, I'll tell you what, like, Urban Meyer, I know now, is kind of almost like a joke because of what happened in Jacksonville. As a college coach, I think he's one of the greatest of all time with what he did at Florida and then at Ohio State.
And then before that, he was at Utah.
Yeah, turned them around.
Yeah, and he...
And Bowling Green? Was he at Bowling Green too?
That might have been one of his early...
I could be wrong.
But Utah, he had Alex Smith, and they bullied Pitt in the Fiesta Bowl way back in like 2004, I want to say. Yeah, Meyer, like, terrible dude. And I also think, I also have always thought his whole like back injury nonsense is just total BS.
Wow, really?
Yeah. Yes. I mean, think about it. The moment he ever ran into trouble at any school,
back,
he was out of there.
Yeah, that is
Come
true.
Come on.
It is like massive coincidence that both times he left was when there was a big situation brewing.
Yes. Like there, you knew something bad was coming down the pike there for him and his back started to hurt.
I wouldn't be shocked if he returns to coaching in college at some point.
I mean, he's not overly old.
No, he's only...
So I think that that can absolutely happen.
He's 60. And the other thing too, like, if Pitt ever had a head coach opening, I would give Urban Meyer a call. Again, not a good guy. Flopped in the NFL, but as a college coach, I don't know if there's anybody better right now. Seriously.
Can you imagine him coaching at Pitt?
Oh, my God. I think he turned them right around. Like, right around.
I do wonder... With what happened in his stop in Jacksonville, if that would hurt any chances there. But, you know, people sometimes have short memories with that stuff. And it.
Nick Saban stunk with the Dolphins.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying, like, Nick Saban didn't really do anything there, though, to make everybody think, like, oh, this dude's like a total, like jackass.
That's true. That's true. You're
so,
right.
So, like, I don't think the actual performance is what would turn people off, just the person. That people view him as, but I think recruits would have really no concern and they'd have a short, you know, memory on that, even if they did remember it. And they would think, well, think about how many college players he turned into NFL players. This guy had few better, very few better than what he was. So I think he could still recruit like crazy.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, listen, if the USC job ever opens up, he was linked to that a few years ago. I could see him going out to Southern Cal. I don't think he's done coaching. I think he still has some good years left in him.
Yeah, I think he could go back. And then the back would start to hurt, and then we'd run through the cycle again.
I think he'd win a championship wherever he went, for the most part.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing to say he wouldn't.
No,
given what he accomplished at his other stops.
I mean, it's tough because all the off-field stuff, and everywhere he's went, there have been situations ranging from really bad to pretty bad. But on-field, you can't argue with what he did. And I like him on Fox as an analyst. Like, I think he's fine. Better than Bob Stoops. Remember they had him for a year?
Yes, I do remember Bob Stoops. I think he's coaching in the UFL now.
Is he really?
Probably, for like whoever's in Oklahoma.
Good for Bob.
The guy's just always going to be tied to Oklahoma football.
Always.
Bob, man, you do not think very highly of Bob Stoops on the mic.
Nah, he was just like, I don't know, he wasn't interesting. He was just kind of like a dope. Now, that's rude. I shouldn't say that. Remember when he coached the bowl game whenever Lincoln Riley left for USC and they just had him in for the bowl game?
Yes, that was very funny.
Yeah.
He came from like behind the analyst desk and just coached the bowl game.
That was hilarious.
Why would they? You had to feel really disrespected if you were a top assistant on that team.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're going to a guy that was out for what, 5 years? 4 years? For one game? And then they hire the guy from Clemson. They probably all felt like pieces of crap.
Oh, man. I forgot about that until now. That's funny. 412-928-9370 if you want to join the fun tonight. Dom and I just have gone completely off the rails. I think that was a Starkey segment there. That was like 40 minutes long, Dom.
This is a Starkey show.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, that's the beauty of these evening shows. You can kind of just do anything you want with them, which is why I enjoy them so much. Coming up, we will take a look at the Steelers defense from last year compared to right now. We will give you an update on what is going on in the MLB All-Star game. Dom, who has been full of hot takes tonight, he has already said that Arch Manning will be the Steelers starting quarterback in 2026. What else does he have up his sleeve? We'll find that out in a little bit of time here as the evening goes on. Also, a big video game came out in the last 24-plus hours. Have we gotten into that at all in our personal time? 412-928-9370 to join in. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. It's the Chevy Summer Drive, up to $7,500 in rebates. Terms and conditions at sunchevy.com. Slight chance of rain later on. Cloudy overnight, low of 76. It's Donnie Football with you on Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.